Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points podcast. I'm our Cousin Sal, coming to you on a Thursday morning. Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this disaster of a podcast. And joining me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss, on what our friend Jason Schrift, our mutual friend, check, Jason Schrift is calling Sally's Comet. I like it. Let me explain. We got all four major sports in the pro leagues going on, plus NCAA football, plus what else do we have? Major League Soccer. There's a playoff game, but that's pretty good. I guess this doesn't happen a lot. Sally's
Comet. I think they play high lie year round down there in
like
Fort Lauderdale, South Beach kind of area too. So you could count that.
Well, listen, the point is, Martin, we need to put together a parlay with all these events, right? How do we let it go by?
I just can't believe that Dave didn't complain about the fact that there's all this sports on one day. Like how am I supposed to watch all of this? I have kids. I just knew that was coming. Lot, I was a little surprised.
Shaq, you got that?
I don't know
DVR
what any of that
mover.
Means. Yes, I am. I'm well known for resenting a lot of sports on my TV.
Come on, guys, don't ruin Sally's Comet. Don't ruin it. Hey, also we have our contest, extrapoints.com/arcade. Martin now in second place, and the staff
not
overall.
For long.
Kevin Hench. Kevin Hench jumped to the top. My goodness, what a crazy rise, a meteoric rise. Speaking of Sally's Comet. But extrapoints.com/arcade. You got the pick'em contest for $100. You got the prop quiz for a gold cap. Join right now. We're going to have our NIL guest coming up, Cornell Beach, in the first of the season. What a story this guy is. Reigning Division III wrestling champ, current Division III all-purpose yards leader in football for Mount St. Joseph's. And he's got quite a story behind him, too. We're going to hear about that. I do want to talk.
How come you didn't wrestle in college, Sal?
Me? No.
Yeah.
No,
you were at a level where you could have conceivably, right?
I did
were
wrestle.
You like state ranked or whatever?
No, please. Nothing
you
like
weren't?
That.
You weren't?
Not even close. But I would. I wrestled probably
I
more.
Were. Sincerely, I thought you were.
No. That's just a call of the parlay kid. And those guys were ranked. But no, I probably wrestled more in college than I did high school. But it was like drunks at 2 a.m. who got loud in the dorms. And there was no referee present or anything like that. Martin, NBA, are we happy with our preseason picks so far? We had a full slate yesterday, although our MVP didn't play yesterday, right? The Bucks still have not suited up, right?
They have not, and maybe this is part of the reason why. There's only one pick that I saw, and I was like, damn, I maybe should have changed this one. But Jason Tatum for MVP, because, again, it's a narrative
really?
Thing. If the Celtics are good this year, and Tatum, I mean, he looked good in game one, obviously 81 more to go, but he looked a lot stronger than he did in the finals. And if the Celtics are good with, like, if they're a top, you know, 4 seed, 3 seed with all the Ime Udoka stuff, the narrative for Tatum is going to be right there for the taking. I don't know how I missed it.
Well, you could still do it. You didn't really miss it. You could still get it at a pretty nice price, 9-1. I don't think it moved that much. Luka's plus 380. That went down a tick. Our guy Giannis 6-1. Shaq, if you watch this, Paolo Banchero, that's the one. That's the rookie of the year right there, plus 130. Lit it up. Did something that no one since LeBron James in 2003 did. 25 points. He actually had 27 in his first game. First rookie to have 25, 5-5 in his debut. Since LeBron. Pretty cool.
You know, it's funny. I did not watch him, to answer your question, in an NBA getup, but I did watch him last spring and earlier than that, toiling as a student athlete. And, you know, certain guys present. LeBron James didn't play in college, obviously, but you could see he was built like a man at the age of 17. So, too, is Paolo Banchero. Some guys don't develop a perimeter game because they're so dominant in the low block. And then when they get to the NBA, they get exposed. Not the case here. That's why I've been on Banchero. I said, remember during the tournament or, you know, late in the ACC season, I said, that's the guy. That's the guy who you want on your NBA team come draft. And
pretty smooth.
I guess
pretty nice, easy, early transition. It's early for sure. But I don't know. Does this mean
I think you had your first and second runner up for No. I'm not going to go off. I think that you had your first and second rookie of the year in that matchup right there. Jaden Ivey. So I think it'll be between Paolo and Jaden Ivey for rookie of the year.
They are the at the top, but they're odds wise +130 and 4-1. My guy Zion. Now I could have left him. I could have said, "You piece of crap! You went out there. You didn't even go out there. You were 75 pounds overweight. I bet you to win Most Improved Player, and you never even suited up. It's almost impossible to win that award when you don't step on the court, Martin." Mm-hmm. But now, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals against the Nets. It was 18-1, now 16-1, and fun as hell to watch. Really, really is. I mean, that's a guy you want to root for when you see him play, and he's had his injuries and his problems. But I'm happy with that bet at 16-1. Talk me out of it, Martin. You won't do it.
You're right, I won't. In fact, my dad texted me last night and said, "Do you think the Pelicans make the playoffs? I'd like to bet on it." And I said, "I think it's a lock. I think that team is good. That team is good. Like, and I mean, I don't know how the rest of the West will stack out, but just on a night in, night out basis, that's going to be a hard team to beat."
They are -400 to make the playoffs, which is crazy that it's that high. And which means
I agree with you. And by the way, the reason he can't be your MVP is because of the presence of the Slim Reaper, who will take up on an almost nightly basis a big chunk of the point total that they put up there. So that injures his chances of getting that award. But yeah, I agree, man. That's a fun team. Jump on board right now.
-400, Martin, means they're very confident they'll be outside of that 7-10. Range there, right? -4. You don't put anyone at -400 if you think they're going to be in the play-in series there.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And I think that this team will compete for a home, like, as crazy as it's going to sound, home court advantage in the West. Like, they're a really good team. With CJ and BI, those are two guys you know can fill it up. And then they have, like, the perfect role players with Alvarado and Herb Jones. And then, like, you just Zion, I mean, he looked like he lost the way he needed to. We'll see how it goes. Yep. Like, but I love that team. Like, Willie Green for Coach of the Year, maybe.
Lots of fun. NBA, as you pointed out, Martin, it's too many. We just don't have enough televisions in the world to cover all that's going on here. Major League Baseball, Yankees, Astros, Game 2. Let's quickly give a pick. I think this is a good setup for – well, it was a good setup for Houston yesterday. Their Yankees bullpen was spent. They had to start their least effective starter. You know, Yanks were celebrating Tuesday night, then had to board a plane. I don't know. You look at Gerrit Cole may still be in the locker room, like looking around in space, trying to find someone to pour the Cavassier. But they got Severino, lost twice to Houston. He gave up 5 runs in a dozen innings. Not terrible. He struck out 11 in those two. And then you got Valdez, 7-7-8 in 5 starts last year in the postseason. I like the Yankees, 6-2. Sheck, what do you like? Spaghetti, you get your blowout, I think, sort of. 6-2 Yanks today. Sheck?
Yeah, I'm with you on the Yanks. It got to a funny place for them, I think, strategically for the course of the series. You almost, on some level, if you're Aaron Boone, maybe you would like it to be 8-0 Astros after one inning, just so you could be like, to hell with game one. We never had a shot. You know, we're still hungover, like you say, and everything else, and on to game two. The fact that it was close, maybe, as you say, a overworked bullpen probably got some work that it didn't need to have now. But
game one, they wouldn't have used the bullpen.
I mean, I think they would like to have won the game, but you get what I'm saying. It's on some level, it's like, man, 1-1, huh? Yeah. This deep into the game, eh? All right, I guess we got to try and win it now.
All right, clean sweep, Martin. What do you like?
I'm taking the Yankees, but I'm putting my money on the first 5. Yankees for the first 5 innings.
All right. They jump out early.
Yeah, I think they jump out early.
Yeah. They have to hit Valdez for this series to go long at least. All right, let's do it, though. What are we waiting for? Thursday night. I avoided it as much as we can because these Thursday night games have been terrible. Sheck, you point out that they're not much different than any of the other games we've been watching. But Arizona now 2.5 at home. It was 1.5. Now ticked up to 2.5. 43.5 is the over under. Any news on Andy Dalton? It's looking like it's leaning towards Andy Dalton. Have you guys seen anything else? It's 10 in the morning on the West Coast. Has anyone seen anything They say game time decision, but then they usually call it 4 hours before.
So. Yeah, I say as of ten Pacific time on Thursday, we are still unsure who will be playing quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
Interesting. All right. Well, here's something interesting. The Cardinals have an 8-game home losing streak in the NFL. And it might have kicked off. They were awful last year on a Thursday night. I remember I had them over the Packers, and they were terrible. They were laying 6. The Packers had a bunch of injuries. Look, going into the year, I love New Orleans, and I was way down on Arizona, and the early indication is that I'm 1-for-2 in those assessments. I'm calling this a loser leaves town match tonight. 2-5 is no bueno, Sheck. Who's winning this game?
The Cardinals are going to win it as much as anything because of the absences on the New Orleans side of things. This is, for NFL teams, this is get right week. For gamblers, this is dig your heels in week. Either way, I'm digging my heels in. Eddie Spaghetti is on the record. He's his preseason pick, the Arizona Cardinals, to go to the Super Bowl. He says he's officially off of it if they lose, and that would be a good play by him to get off of that one. Likewise, I'm all in. I got intimidated by Hench and Spaghetti about you got to give up on the Chargers now, given all their injuries. I got spooked. I apologize to Brandon Staley and to the entire Chargers organization. I'm back in. You're still my team out of the AFC West, maybe the AFC overall. I just wanted to get that in while I'm making proclamations about the thing. Cardinals, though, tonight.
Cardinals and Chargers win tonight, according to Sheck. Martin, here's something's weird. Andy Dalton, if he does start, this will be 4 years he started against the Cardinals, four consecutive years, with the Bengals, Cowboys, Bears, and tonight if he starts with the Saints. That you love stuff like that, Sheck.
That's wild. That
I don't think he's done well. He's very bad in prime time. I think he's 0 for his last 5 in prime time. So you have two crazy trends butting up against each other. The 8-game home losing streak for Cardinals, the fact that Andy Dalton can't win a night game. Which way are you going?
Well, then on top of that, if Jameis were to go, he hasn't covered in 5 of his last 6. So, you know, that it's all ugly.
Right.
But I'm going to go with what I think is probably the most toxic duo in football right now. Cliff and Kyler, they're not covering the spread. They're going to lose this. They don't win at home. They don't cover at home. The Saints are going to win. And quite honestly, the Saints partly are going to win this game because they don't have a solid answer at quarterback. They've been running the ball. They've been controlling the clock. And Cliff Kingsbury's trying to, like, they've been outscored the Cardinals 41-3 in the first quarter. So my bet is definitely Saints to win the first quarter. And then Saints to win the first half. But I think the Cardinals are going to lose this game outright. And Cliff Kingsbury might be looking for a new home after this. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fired after this game.
Oh, a new home, actually. Well, that'd be bad news for Harry, if you mean specifically the home. Harry checks his trash like once a week because they live close by somehow. I have Hopkins in like 2 of my lineups, so I know he's definitely going to go 3-for-31 with no touchdowns, something like that. But even with Thomas, Landry, Lattimore out last week, the Saints fought hard against the Bengals. They could have won the game. It was a toss-up going into the fourth quarter. I don't mind their offense. I think Kyler throws a pick. He's thrown 1 in 3 straight games. But listen, we should probably just go with the under. I mean, the last 2 Thursday night football games saw a combined 40 points. Disgraceful. 17-12, the Saints beat the Cardinals. That's my pick.
I think that's the most interesting thought of all there. And, you know, I keep saying, you know, anecdotally, you just watch the games. You can see that the teams aren't scoring as much as we're used to seeing in pro football the last 5-10 years. And now go ahead and look at the book. It's crazy. In the year of our Lord, 2022, NFL Week 7, exactly one game has a combined total over 50 points. 51 points is out there to be had in one NFL game. How wild is that? It's all low 40s, high 30s, embarrassing.
Wow. Well, I'll say this, and we're going to get into it. This is, we talked about how this is the week to go apple picking with the kids there. Bills are off, Eagles are off, Rams are off, and Vikings are off, which means the slate is not going to be pretty. And we're going to go over that slate
in a minute. First, whatever you bet these games, bad or not, do it on Caesars.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.CA or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
All right, let's take a real quick break, and then we're going to talk to our latest NIL superstar, Cornell Beecham.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, let's bring in our guest. You know, when seeking out NIL athletes, we figured it makes more sense to get one that excels at two different sports. The reigning Division III wrestling champ and current Division III all-purpose yards leader in football. I think he's nationally ranked pickleball player, too. I'll have to check that. From Mount St. Joseph's University, Cornell Beecham Jr. Say, what's happening, Cornell?
What's up? How you doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Let me tell you, we reached out to Mount St. Joseph's when we heard your story. Everyone loved you there. Babyface Joel Solomon spoke with them. They say you're the best. I think if you keep this up, they might get a statue of you right there on campus. Would you like something like that?
Yes, sir. I'm expecting it. I need one.
You need a statue.
Well, what does the statue look like, though? That's the first consideration.
Oh, yeah,
are you football mode? Are you wrestling? Is like half of you football and the other half wrestling? How does that go?
Maybe I'll just throw a singlet on with a helmet and a football. Okay. Something like that.
I like that.
He's got a singlet and he's hurdling a linebacker. I think that's the way to do it. Yeah. You know, when I first heard your story and I read what you went through in the first few months of leading up to you winning your wrestling title. For those of you who know, tell us about what an emotional run that was for you and all the adversity you had to overcome.
I think it was really emotional, but I think it's just a humbling experience. But first I had my daughter back in May of 2021, and then my dad passed away January 5th, 2022, while I was at a wrestling match. I had seen him that morning and had went to a wrestling tournament. It was national duels, team duels. The team didn't do so hot, but I was glad I was there and not home, because it helped keep my mind like steady. And then just I kept on wrestling and eventually won a national title.
And there's footage of you lifting your 9-month old at the time daughter, Braylon, right, over your head?
Yes, sir. I grabbed her from beside the stage and lifted her above my head, and the crowd just started cheering loud.
That's great. And we didn't even talk about the ACL injury, right, for football?
Yes, sir. I tore my ACL and MCL in February of 2021, so it'll be going on 2 years now. But I had to miss the whole football season last year. And when it was COVID, we had a COVID season also. I had to miss that season. Then I missed the first part of wrestling and then got back into wrestling probably mid-season.
Mm-hmm. And have you gotten COVID too? I mean, it might as well just add to it, all of it. No?
No, I think I got it from when I got the vaccine. I think that's how I got it.
Okay. All right. See, even more to add to the story, Sheck. 6-0, ranked 24th in the country. And you're leading at all-purpose yards. Very exciting stuff, huh?
Yes, sir. It's real exciting. Just trying to keep it up.
Yeah.
If you guys win the Division III championship in football this year, are you going to hold your daughter up again? Like, are you going to recreate that moment? Because, you know, that's the thing now. You got Riley Curry at the press conference. I mean, I think you should continue every championship that you have to bring your daughter with you.
I'm going to hold my son up. I just had a son like 2 days ago. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Nice. Yes, by the way, now the statue is taking shape now, literally now. You hold both your kids over your head with the singlet and the helmet and everything, knee pads and everything. I think this I'll put in a request for all this stuff. Sheck, I don't know if you're going to like this about Cornell, the number he chose to wear in football. You want to tell
–
want to break the news to him, Cornell?
Yeah, number 0.
Oh, I like that quite a bit. In fact, I have a lot. You know, those aesthetic considerations are obviously high on my list of what I think of. So, like, Cornell Beecham Jr. is a great name, period. Uh-huh. If you went into – I can't believe I've never asked this of Sal, who is a wrestler of some repute in his heyday, too.
Yeah.
But Cornell – what would be, if you became a professional wrestler, what would be your identity? Would you be like Corn Cob? Like, is, I don't know if that works. And Sal, same question for you. I've never asked either one of you guys this. This is the first time I've ever spoken to Cornell. But what would your ID be there?
Maybe it would be like corn on a cob or something. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, butter up your guy. Right. Yeah. Ooh, maybe you slather yourself in butter, and then your foe tries to grab you, and you're too slippery, and that could be your whole thing. I like this.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah, or he's got the cob down his pants, and just when the ref's not looking, right to the noggin or something. Yeah.
I was wondering what he was going to do with that, Sal.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you going to do if you become a division, a wrestling champion? And I don't know how you have all time for this, but are you going to add another sport, or are you going to have to choose between the two? Have you thought about NFL, or where do you go with the wrestling? Is UFC maybe?
Well, wrestling, I've thought of the UFC starting a fight, but hopefully I get a chance at the NFL. I'm hoping to get a tryout. So,
have scouts been bugging you already about this?
Not yet, but I'm sure they'll come.
Yeah, so. That's the attitude, Martin.
You sure they're going to show up? Think you would What position do you think you translate to best in the NFL?
I think, honestly, running back, but I'm a dangerous punt returner, kick returner, so more like an athlete role.
Okay. And then what weight would you want to fight at if you were fighting in UFC?
I would fight at 170.
Yeah. 170. He's got it all thought up. He knew right away, Martin. He knew his answer.
My man's got plans. That's all I know.
Well, listen, if I had 243 all-purpose yards averaging a game in college, I'd start making plans, too. Break Eddie Spaghetti's heart. Tell him right now you won't go to Notre Dame under any circumstances, right?
No, I can't be there.
You can't be there?
Yeah.
What Division I team do you root for?
My friend Mayan Williams go to Ohio State.
Okay.
And Jerron Cades.
Martin doesn't like that. Michigan born.
I mean, I know that Mount St. Joseph's in Ohio, so I was gonna let him pass, seeing as, you know, trying to, you know, be friendly and all, but, you know, it's just a mistake below Michigan. What can I say? I'm a Michigan grad and spent a lot of time in Michigan, and it's, I feel like it is a little bit of a one-sided rivalry, though. like Michigan.
Yeah, they ain't better than Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, they say know thyself. It does seem like you do understand for a professional football career that, that there is in this window of time that there is a role for that as a kick returner, as a, you know, Swiss Army knife type of guy. Like, are you aware of guys like Calvin Austin and guys like that that have made it to the NFL a little undersized, but they use their wheels and otherwise and carve out a role in special teams and beyond?
Yes, sir. That's the plan. Austin Eckler for the Chargers running back.
Right.
He came from a smaller school, so smaller D1 school, though. But he's a workhorse. Well,
I think you're going to do just fine, and we're going to have to work on this statue a little bit. We're going to we'll send renditions your way. But I think we had a lot of good ideas. Nice start, if nothing else, for that. Here's what I want to do, being our first NIL athlete. We're going to send you some money. All right. And we need you to use it to gamble on the Steelers +7 this week. No, you do whatever you want. You do whatever you want with it. You know what? Get a nice Halloween costume for your son. And his son might be a little too young, right? Does your daughter have any plans for Halloween? Does she have a costume?
No, not right now. He only 3 days old.
Right. Yeah. But you got the daughter. Yeah.
That's the daughter. Yeah.
All right. Maybe they all go as Cornell Beecham statues or something. I don't know.
They need
to
just put them in a singlet and football helmet.
There you go. All right, Cornell, we're going to check back in with you during wrestling season. Good luck to you. Stay healthy. And we're very proud of what you've accomplished so far.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I really appreciate you for having me on.
You got it. No doubt. There he is. Cornell Beecham. All right.
The corn cob. Gonna butter you up.
All right, what a nice young fella there, Martin. It's nice to root for somebody you don't know, right? We have the same names, we're thrown in front of us all the time. Now here's a new one.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to come up with like a beach type of pun, but I couldn't. Dave was
Beecham
with his corn cobs with the corn. Butter and salt. I just so distracted. I was trying to come up with something with the beach, but I feel like life is a beach would be better than like corn on the cob. But I don't.
Life is a beach.
Ultimately,
that would be his name.
It's so much better than corn on the cob. Yeah, but no, he's a nice guy.
The lifeguard, the death guard. I don't know. What would he do? Oh, if it was a guard, the lifeguard would be a good beach thing. Mm. Yeah, he's undersized though. But yeah, no, it's good. We'll be rooting for him for sure. Boy, if I had to go through all that stuff, parents, you know, like a tornado, that'd be it. I'd be done with college. I'd be working on the closest assembly line. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but good for him for coming.
A nice fella, easy to root for. We're not front runners. We're rooting for the underdog here, right on the cob. Mm-hmm. But Sal, you didn't answer your professional wrestler.
Well, I had thought about this.
Are you a good guy or a bad? You got to be a bad guy.
Oh, I'd be a heel.
Be a good guy.
Listen, yeah. I wore a kilt to Madison Square Garden in support of Rowdy Roddy Piper when he when he said derogatory things about Bruno Sammartino's heritage, which happens to be my heritage, and I loved it. I don't know. I was a screwed up kid. So yeah, and I had sections of people rooting against me, and it was no feeling like it. And then when I wrestled myself, I actually wrestled Santino Moreau. I was a baby face. But anyway, yeah, I'd be a heel. I think my gas would have to figure in. The gas man.
I think something, you know what I think really now that I'm, because you mentioned your guy, Piper. Yeah. Rowdy Roddy Piper, the kilt and everything else. I think it's got to be something that pays homage to him, right? So maybe like you're the flute.
Right? Oh, okay. He's the bagpipes.
I don't know.
We did a thing on this with on the Man Show where we went through all Jimmy and Adam went to wrestling school, you know, and it's like
I'm not familiar with those names.
3 hours away, and Jimmy actually got hurt. He got suplexed and he got hurt. But they went through all different variations of names, and the calligrapher is the one that stood out to me.
I forgot about that. Yeah, but listen, last thing about Corn Cob. Imagine Jake the Snake used to humiliate. He would erase his foe, and then he would take their dignity by putting a snake on them. Imagine if after he beats his guy, he starts buttering them up. That would be a terrible thing to have happen to you while you're unconscious on the ground. What if Tua? What if after Tua was laying there with the fencing hands, if somebody put butter on him on top of it? It would be
interesting.
Terrible.
Yeah, it'd probably be illegal too. Well, but then we're talking wrestling, right? Now you're mixing it with football?
I'm expanding beyond that. He's a wrestler and a football player. Please keep up, Sal.
Okay.
Oh, how are they all roughing the wrestler penalties?
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, you have to start 15 yards from your foe.
That is a funny thought.
Doesn't translate.
Wrestling officials start to adopt the vibe, like, hey, you can't do that to him. Like, come on.
Right.
That's too
come on, man.
Listen, we wish him a lot of luck. We're going to have him back. I want to take a quick break, and then we have games to go over, guys. I mentioned that a lot of good teams are off, and it left us with crap, but some intriguing matchups. We can always find something, right? We will when we return.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, let's start it up. We already went over New Orleans, Arizona. We're split on that game. Giants at Jaguars, Jags -3 and -42. I don't want to do this much this year. I promised I wouldn't. But when I see a fishy line, I'm going to go the other way. And this is one of the few times this year I'm going to do it. In the beginning of the week, I guessed that the Giants, the 5-1 Giants, would be a 2.5-point favorite over the 2-4 Jaguars. Not the case. Caesars, all of Vegas, has installed Jacksonville as a 3-point favorite. That hasn't moved. The over-under is 42. I guess this indicates, check, that these teams are even. And then the Jaguars get the obligatory 3-point home advantage. How can we say they're even? Talk me in or out of one side.
I can't. I see exactly what you're seeing with this one. I'm on the Jags because of exactly what you're talking about. What sense does this line make, given the way the Jags have looked over the last 3 weeks and what the Giants have looked like over the course of the regular season? It makes no sense. Ergo, I'm going with Duval County. I'm jumping into that swimming pool in the stadium. Give me the turquoise team.
Crazy. But none of us have a good reason for it. Martin?
No, of course.
What do you think, Martin?
I feel like I was the only person in America who didn't feel like this was a fishy line. Like, I feel like the Jaguars, records notwithstanding, are a better team than the Giants. Like, the Giants have been getting it by spitting glue, and I understand they have 4 wins, and I'm not trying to downplay it, but like—
Five. Five wins. They have five.
But I understand they've been successful. But when we look at the results, like they're coming back, like fourth quarter, double digit comebacks multiple times. Like, they're down 17-3. And again, this roster was horrible, and now all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe this roster is great versus like the Jacksonville team, which. Either Urban Meyer was the worst coach of all time, and they just got better. However you figure it, that team has more talent, I feel like, than the Giants do. And the Giants have been getting by running the ball in a league where nobody wants to run the ball. But the Jaguars have their front seven, and Eddie's in the chat saying the same thing. Their front seven is really impressive. Like, if the Giants can't run, they can't win. Like, Daniel Jones hasn't been depended upon to do much of anything this season. It's to make one or two or three big throws, but, like, to throw them out from a deficit, like, not for real. But I like the Jaguars to win and cover. But I don't think that Giants, it's, like, a crazy thing.
To what your point, the Giants are 31st in passing and 4th in rushing. But I will say Daniel Jones has something to do with that 4th in rushing. You know, it's mostly Saquon, but –
That's
I looked at what Matt Ryan dropped back 58 times, wasn't sacked once. But I guess if you're going against a team that's 31st in passing, it's not as important. Maybe the Jags come out strong like they did versus the Chargers. It's the fishy and phony and full of crap line of the week is why I'm ultimately taking the Jaguars. But here are some things I could back it up with. Lawrence was 90% last week. He threw for 90%.
I was just going to say, I think that's for whatever reason, I think we think about Saquon and Dimes versus that front seven. And it's a particular kind of dominant, potentially dominant front seven. It's all based on speed, which you would think would take away Dimes' ability to run away from it and maybe slow Saquon down. But that's exactly right. What about Trevor Lawrence? He's been playing well, kind of under the radar a little bit of late.
And they held the Colts to 45 yards rushing. So there's that. I'm really just picking. I do think the Giants are better. But this is a trap situation. They are 2-5, though, the Giants, in their last seven against the spread in the last seven road games. I'm going Jags 24-16. Spaghetti, you feel confident in this game?
I'm not sure if I'm confident. This is a game that people are calling a trap game, which I guess I don't know if you're even allowed to do that with the Giants because they are kind of you know, they are a 5-win team, but like
they're trap proof. You're saying
how Martin is saying he doesn't, they don't deserve to win. A lot of people feel that way. But like I did put in the chat, the Jags are great versus the run. The Giants need to run the ball to win. The Giants can run the Jaguars can run the football. The Giants aren't great at stopping that, but that also limits what Trevor Lawrence could do. I think every Giants game has been a one score game, and you're giving the Giants 3 free points here. It's not like the Jacksonville crowd is really going to get under the Giants are used to ruckus environments. I think they're going to be okay in that regard. I'm going to pick the Giants to win for our EP picks. They beat Lamar Jackson, they beat Aaron Rodgers. Trevor Lawrence, I just don't think he's going to be able to do enough. And Daniel Jones is playing very good football. He's playing smart football, not turning the ball over. He's efficient as anything. And I think as time goes on, they are getting some pieces back. And, now the emergence of Wandale Robinson, the second round pick, it helps them a ton. So the defense is pretty healthy. I don't think the Giants, they're not a fluke. Dayball's putting them in positions to win. I think this Jaguars team is not that great.
I don't think you know how much I like to crap on the everybody's team who's all my friends and are on this podcast. And I don't think the Giants are a fluke. I don't. If you just go by what it feels like, they feel like a 4-2 team. Jaguars feel like a 2-4, 3-3 team, which is why the line surprised me, Sheck. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I just think that, as I always try to remind you, like some jerk, but nevertheless, it does matter who's wearing the team's uniforms, and Leonard Williams being now alongside of Dexter. I mean, that's a formidable, already a nice front seven, but you throw him back in there, it's going to make it harder for the Jags to run. I'm sticking with the Jags, but, and it's interesting because it applies to both New York teams because they feel like a pair at this point, both rising at the same time, same sort of cynicism around them. Both teams now. I don't know how much psychologically it actually matters to professional athletes, but is this a trap game for either one? Are they feeling it a little too much in the capital of the world? Are they getting too many back pats this week? The Jets and the Giants in spots where you would think, oh, they should go in there and beat that team. Those teams that they're playing on the road aren't good, so they should go in there and beat them. Will they, though? Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. Same kind of situation with the Jets going to Denver. Let's leave that for a second. Detroit at Dallas. Here we go, Martin. Cowboys, 7-point favorite. 49 is the over-under. I look at the Lions' last pitiful performance before their bye versus New England, where they did not score a point. And I say, well, our defense is better than New England's. And we have Dak coming back. Should be able to move the ball. And all that said, I think 7's too much. Lions are rested. Yeah, I think it's too much. They're 5-0 against the spread versus a team with a winning record, 6-0. Under Campbell after a loss of 10 or more. He doesn't look like a guy who would turn a team around, but I think he will get – this is a 23-19 game. Dak's going to struggle a little, and then they grind it out with Zeke and Pollard, which, by the way, the Lions' defense, not great against the run, 167 yards a game given up on the ground. I think 10 touchdowns, which is 31st. Just a weird feeling, but I think it'll be close, Martin. 23-19, I'd take the 7.
Yeah, I'm taking the 7 as well. I think another reason why I think it'll be close is I'd be surprised. Dallas kind of made a switch, and I feel like they found their strategy in order to be the most successful team they could be in the last 3 weeks, which is run, and just limit your quarterback. And I think that they should continue to do that. And I think if you look across the league, quarterbacks, I mean, teams that have a strong running attack, like the New York Giants, like the New York Jets, have winning records, right? They're more successful than some of these other teams that you've seen, just like the Chargers, for example, just bomb the ball. It's going to be interesting to see now as your $40 million quarterback comes back in, are they going to be content winning games with their quarterback passing for less than 200 yards?
It's a good point. Yeah, I'm with you. If what you're saying is don't abandon the game plan, right? Just because the new quarterback's coming in, the new
I think the reason why you put Dak in is because those moments when you needed that fourth quarter throw in Philly, that's why Dak is there. I like the Lions to cover in this game though, because of all the things you just said, and plus the Cowboys are way too penalized. They're going to give the Lions opportunities to get first downs, to score points. And this Lions offense is, especially after with St. Brown and Swift coming back after byes.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is hard to say after Belichick just annihilated Dan Campbell, but the Lions may have the coaching matchup here, Sheck. What do you see?
It's funny. See, this is what happens with teams. See, you're down on McCarthy still. Can't you feel nice, Al? Look at what he did with the backup, the bum Cooper Rush. You're still relevant. Your season could be over now with a lesser head coach. You should be celebrating, not taking shots, but either way.
No, listen, he hasn't had many opportunities. These games are either not close. Like, he couldn't blow the Rams game. I'm still not happy with not reviewing it as Martin, one of Martin's morons there. It didn't review the fourth and one, the third and one. But anyway, but go ahead. All right. So you think this is a blowout?
I don't know about blowout. And the key detail, once again, is in Foxborough, there was no DeAndre Swift. There wasn't any St. Brown. These are relevant things here. Still, the Cowboys have perhaps still the best defense, and Dak coming back in there. I hear you both about the fact that both teams probably wouldn't mind grinding it out on the ground a little bit. However, Dak back in that mix changes the formula in Big D, and Detroit is an atrocity on defense, but in fact, a really good offense. You know what this means? I'm going over 49. That's the play in this game.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I love it.
Well, they did that with the Eagles, right? They ended up being like mid-50s points scored there because the Eagles let them back in. Maybe it's a similar game to that.
Oh, he's not going to be a similar game. Dak's going to jump on him. I wonder how many drives they give Dak before they say, cut it loose, man, because I wonder, he's been down for so long. I'm sure he would love to go out there and drive him down the field and throw a touchdown pass to start things off. But I bet you they work him in and Zeke is a battering ram early, but at some point Dak is going to show why he's Dak and Cooper Rush is not. He's going to before the end of the first half.
Yeah.
I bet you throw a couple of touchdown passes.
I mean, it's the perfect game for him, except for the part where the Lions are coming off the bye, but you're going up against the 31st ranked Rush defense. So you shouldn't be asked to do too much, as Martin said, to win this game. But I still think it's going to be close. Kansas City at San Francisco. All right, this is a good game. What should be the end of it's never the end of a rough stretch, but the roughest stretch for the Chiefs, who are 2.5-point favorite in San Fran. 48.5 is the over under. They do well on the road, Kansas City. Aside from that Indy game, they exploded for 85 points at Arizona and Tampa Bay. Mahomes having a Mahomes type year already, 17 touchdowns, 4 picks. Defense playing decently. And listen, that's where I would, if the Niners were healthy, or even semi-healthy, that defense is the best in the league. But Bosa with the groin injury and Ward and Hufanga, concussion injury, uncertain for week 7. I think the 49ers offense continues to struggle. Half their games, they've had 14 or fewer points. Andy Reid's team takes it 31-20, which was the score of their Super Bowl game, Shaq. 31-20, Chiefs win.
This might seem crazy. It probably does. I'm taking the Niners at home on a
hunch here. You have to at this point.
I listen. You know what? Because I suspect he's listening. Jeff Schwartz texting you and me. Not just me. Yeah. He texts you, too, to say Damashek's Chiefs opinions suck. Well, guess what? I don't think the Chiefs suck. I don't think that they're a world beater either. And I get obviously what you're saying, but about the absences on San Francisco's strong suit, which is defense, I can continue to think that until things really settle with that young defense from KC, I still think that there's some room for San Francisco to get better with Jimmy G under center there. They're loaded up on offense, too. I like this spot for him, and it's kind of SEC logic. The SEC supporters' logic is, hey, you're going to get got by one of these good teams at some point. You know, listen, we've already seen the Chiefs stumble against the Colts. The Niners are a good football team with a great coaching staff. They haven't been great to this point. I think they show who they are this week against a good visitor from Kansas City. All right,
Martin, break the tie here.
Yeah, it really hinges on Trent Williams for me. Like, I don't think he's going to go, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs. But if he was going to play, then I think I would go with Kansas. I mean, I would think the 49ers would be able to win because I think they'd be able to run behind him against this Chiefs defense. Without him in that offensive line, it's going to be leaning too much on Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think this follows the same strategy. Can your team run the ball? How often do they throw it? Like, if they run the ball efficiently, I'd like to back that side. And that's why I love the Niners this season, even though I'm picking them right now to start out 3-4. If they can get those guys back on defense, they're going to be a problem in the NFC. But I'm going with the Chiefs.
I agree. Hey, the one thing to come out of that Chiefs game, I know they lost to the Bills. Your boy, Juju Smith-Schuster, is now a force, right? He's at least sync with Patrick. Well, I mean, he's at least... You know, some of these guys weren't even a blip, right? Like Valdez Scantling, like, hey, you're waiting for any of these guys to have a big game. Juju, I don't know, could be trusted, I think, at this point by Mahomes.
To me, their salvation on offense, which is ironic given who these Chiefs have been for the last half decade, is the versatility in the backfield. Those guys, I know fungible running backs are fungible and all that, but think about what they can do. And the different looks they can give you out of the backfield. I think that's what makes this offense remain kind of formidable more than any of the pass catchers.
Right. All right. Well, let's go to your team.
Well, not Travis Kelce, obviously, but.
You're getting 7 at Miami. Steelers are 45 is the over under. I'm going to simplify. I couldn't find a lot of good trends for the Steelers. I found that Miami's 0-6-1 against the spread in their last 7 October games. I don't know how closely they're paying attention to the calendar, but that is what it is. I just think 7's too many points for a 2022 NFL quarterback to cover, let alone one that's coming back from a head injury and, you know, 3-game losing streak to boot. Steelers, with whoever they're putting out there on defense, only allowing 24 points a game. I think they could score at least 17. Chase Claypool back, talk about receivers, middling receivers who stepped it up. Pretty good game last week, 96 yards, 7 receptions. Who starts, Shaq? Because I have the Dolphins winning, but only 26-22.
Well, so many moving parts. It's hard for me really to have a solid opinion about how this one is going. It does look like the Steelers are getting closer to healthy defensively. For me, it's what's the frame of mind of Tua?
Fitzpatrick playing, right? Probably.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to play. Akilah Witherspoon's going to play. So they're getting right on the back end a little bit. I think it comes down to what's Tua's frame of mind here. I'm way too classy a guy to be sad that Jaylen Waddle is tracking Tua playing because there was a chance that he might not play. But, of course, I'm a class act, and so I want the Dolphins or any foe fully healthy. I didn't get a pit in my stomach when I saw, it looks like Waddle's going to play at all. Cause I'm classy, like I say, but Tua, you know, I don't know what's in that guy's head. How confident is he going to be? How focused in on, the play action fakes and strikes downfield versus like, hey, Larry Ogunjobi's bearing down on me. I don't want to take another shot. I don't know. I feel like that's probably not great. So, all right, I'll take the Steelers plus.
Oh, he's finally doing it, Mark.
I don't know what. How do I know? How can anybody know what Tua is going to do if somebody gives him a shot in the first quarter?
Well, what about your guy? So it's going to be Pickett.
Love it.
It's Pickett.
Yeah, it's with two concussion quarterbacks playing in this game, right? You love it, Martin. You love the Steelers pick.
Oh no, I love that bullying works. That's week after week.
We gotta get the t-shirts ready.
Yeah, he could finally pick the Steelers. Unfortunately, he picked them on the wrong week. The Dolphins are gonna cover the 7. I've been on the Dolphins all season. The biggest concern, they can't keep a quarterback healthy. Like, I know that we talk about Tua and his head, his, you know, his head injury, but they've also lost two other ones to the point where Tua is now like coming back almost in, it's very timely, because otherwise they wouldn't you'd be really concerned about who's going to start this game, which backup is less hurt to come in and start. If they can keep Tua upright, I think they'll win this game. But the Steelers had their motivational moment last week. This is prime letdown space.
Yeah. You agree with that, Sal?
Well, I'm taking the Steelers, but I do see what Martin's saying. So they're playing two Florida teams, right? The Tampa team, the superior team, who they're a 10-point underdog to, they beat. And now all of a sudden it's shifted. That's now going to move like 17 points off the whatever. And I don't know, Miami's favored by 7. Like it's a little bit trappish. I want to make a case for the Steelers scoring points, but that's always the hard part of this, right? Are like tops in the league against the run, bottom of the league running the football. You wait for Najee Harris to break out, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. Babyface, what are you going this way on this game?
I like the Steelers this week, and I did you guys mention it's a Brian Flores revenge game?
Oh, right. Oh, that's and, a good one. Of course, that's a big
Steelers
one.
Steelers defense, just like we saw last week with Wink Martindale against going against his former team. I do think that matters to this prideful defensive team that has been decimated with injuries and does not like that, the black and gold wave, right?
No, indeed, and I think the point is, I think the as you say, can you talk yourself into the Steelers scoring points? You know, it's not a small matter that they played at Buffalo and then just played Tampa Bay. Maybe that affects the point total for the Steelers offense. They should have a little bit easier time making some hay on the ground, right? So I you would think that, you know, the higher the point total gets, that's in a weird way that helps the Steelers plus 7, I guess. But I don't know what Tua's frame of mind's going to be. Is he going to be out there? Because, like, as to Marty's point, it wouldn't stun me if it was like 40-17. You know, that the Dolphins just house them if they look like they did in the first couple of weeks of the season. I just don't know if Tua's right to be out there doing that kind of stuff.
Well, it's a night game, so it has to suck. So 40-17 might be one way to get there. I'll tell you one thing that doesn't suck: our pups of the week. Oh, award winning. Have we hit one in a while? I don't know.
I hit one. I told you the Falcons.
Oh, Falcons was last week. That's right. Yeah. That was a good one.
I had one the week before.
No, Mark, we were on the Panthers over the Niners, weren't we? We picked against the Niners.
No, I wasn't. No, you and Dave were on the Panthers over the Niners, and I said that was ridiculous. Crap. That's the week that I hit mine and then picked the Panthers, and they lost to the Rams while Dave hit the Falcons.
So it's just – it's just me that's terrible at this. All right, I should have left it at that. All right, Martin, give us your pup of the week.
I know who he's going to go. Can I tell you who this is a fun new game.
This is an underdog of plus 150 or more, although I violated that by $2 last week to win outright. Go ahead, Jack. Who does Martin
go do? Ahead, Dave. Who am I going to guess?
The Seattle Seahawks.
Again, you guys guessed my second choice. That was my second one. My all number one, I'm definitely playing the Seahawks money line. My number one, I'm going with the Detroit Lions. They're going to win outright, and this is going to spawn the quarterback controversy that's going to drive me insane until Thanksgiving because they're going to be talking about Cooper Rush would have won that game because Dak's going to have a costly fumble or interception or something in a shootout. It's going to be a very high scoring game and a game that Cooper Rush would have never been able to keep up in. But Dak's going to make one critical error, and I'll have to hear about it until the turkey's on the table. And so I'm going with the Lions here. Dan Campbell with his first road game.
Let me tell you, if the Lions do win this game, it almost has to be Dak's fault. Now, I get it. Like, Zeke could put the ball on the turf 3 times, and then I'm wrong. But
won't make a difference. You're right.
Right?
It will be Dak's fault, especially because he was trying to push and get back. He's throwing the ball left-handed. Ask my receivers how much velocity I got on the ball. I can just see Jerry now.
Don't even put this out.
Roster circled its wagons around Cooper Rush, but with Dak back in there, it changed the dynamic. That will be the story if they lose the game. Right.
All right, it's not going to be a story. Well, come on, poo-poo. No, come on. All right, check. Well, I'll tell you, Martin, your pick for Martin's pop – is my pick, Check. Seattle, they were plus 210. They're plus 196 against your Chargers. I just don't like the way this Chargers team is playing. I don't think they should be close to a 3-1 favorite over anyone. A lot of Seahawks fans are going to make their way to SoFi. Our friend Tall John will be there. I don't know. I'm as down on this Chargers team as you are the Chiefs, but just, I think people have the idea that Herbert's going to sit back there and throw for four touchdowns and 350 yards. It's not that kind of year yet. Maybe they get healthy and that'll happen eventually, but they haven't played well. They don't even have a kicker, which seems fine for Staley, who wants to go for it on four. You think Staley gets mad when they convert 3rd-and-1? I was thinking about it. You think he's like, oh, damn, what am I supposed to do now for the next two downs? Doesn't make any sense. Geno Smith, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 73% plus completion percentage. They average 124 rushing yards a game. They're going to keep Chargers honest. 27-23, the Hawks take it at SoFi. Sheck, I know you hate that pick.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I just wonder when, you know, we keep talking about Cooper Rush turning into a pumpkin, but it's funny how we just accept things. If we see him for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, they just become our new reality and we don't really bat much of an eye. Like the Patriots at home, we're laying 8. Now it's down to 7.5. I know the Bears are an atrocity, but now we just accept that the Patriots are going to start housing lesser foes. That's weird given where they were a couple of weeks ago. That's not my pick. But as far as that goes, Geno Smith, I mean, how far is this thing going to go now? Geno Smith is now Jim Plunkett of the 21st century?
One more week it'll go. I'll tell you.
No, it's dig your heels in week. I already told you that. The Chargers are a winner. Keenan Allen, you talk about the pieces that they're going to get back. It looks like Keenan Allen's tracking towards playing. That will be a major factor. He's one of the 5 best pass catchers in the NFL. Of course, it'll make a difference when he gets back out there for Justin Herbert and open it up with Mike Williams. Now we're cooking with gas on that offense. But that's not my pick. I don't like any of these games out here. Tempted to take the Commies with a new-look QB in there. Carson Wentz has put up numbers. He hasn't put up W's anywhere except on the side of his helmet, hideous as it is in our nation's capital this year. The Packers have struggled, but the Packers are going to get right this week. I have no choice. I got to take the Steelers.
Oh, really? Okay.
What am I supposed to do? There are no good ones on the board this week. There are no good upsets.
I'm
going to
argue with you here because, Martin, you know that 6.5, 7-point spread, it makes everybody who plays teasers like me, all the idiots out there who want to take that spread from 6.5 to 0, and you can if you find a dance partner for it, a two-teamer. I think out of all these teams, Patriots over the Bears, Dolphins over the Steelers, Chargers over the Seahawks, Raiders over the Texans, Cowboys over the Lions, Ravens over the Browns, Bengals over the Falcons. That's what, 7 or 8 6-point favorites are right in that range. I think at least 2 of those lose, Shaq. I think you got you got your pick of the litter there. You could take the Falcons.
I think Martin. More.
I think there's a couple of those going down, 2 or 3. You just got to figure out which ones.
Marty?
I
hate the chaos. No. This chaos cannot continue. At some point, things need to solidify and turn into jello already instead of just disparate random parts all mixed together. It's got to solidify to some degree. There'll be some variation. Random. Jello Penny, jiggles.
I'm telling you, the more teams that run out in 21 with 2 tight ends and a tight end and a fullback and a running back, those are the teams that are having offensive success right now. Like if you just follow down that trend, like Justin Herbert throwing the ball 57 times for 99 yards, this ain't the 2020 NFL right now with the safeties. It's the way they're playing defense. If you can run the ball 4 yards and play like it's, you know, the mid-2000s, then you're going to be successful. At least that's, to me, has been the takeaway from this season. I know everybody's saying it's boring because it's not, but it's part of the reason it's boring because there's no big plays. The game of tug of war is just slower and slower.
You're right. The red zone channel, it's not – even the red zone channel is not that exciting. It's mostly kicks we're seeing. But you're right.
Here's what I will say to Marty's point, which is right, is that if you're looking for the through line of the successful teams, nothing is 100% spot on. But right, the teams that can run – I'll tell you, did you watch Brian Robinson in the second half last Thursday night? That's a difference maker. You could really beat up and grind out some games that way. I just can't talk myself into – this swoon for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers for much longer. I mean, they're just too. It's not 12. It's not like he's carrying the day for Green Bay's hopes and fortunes. There, that roster's too good for it to continue to lose.
Should be right for some teams, but as we mentioned, those 7 point, 6.5 point favorites, like three. I predict three.
Give us a nice teaser, Sal.
A lot of them will be
Seattle. Give us your special teaser.
No, I'm saying stay away from that teaser. I don't like anything. I got bit with the Bucks and the Packers last week. I got to stay away from that. I got to take teams like the Seahawks. God help.
So boost the Lions up to a ridiculous number then, and pair with somebody else.
I'm not going to root for that. Listen, -3, Kevin Hench. I already went crazy recapping a citizen's arrest he made at the Corona football.
Oh my God. It was a crazy episode. We went, okay. I'll pull back the curtain quickly. We went so long that we ended up having to cut out about 20 minutes.
It was
a marathon, even by our standards. But it was a divine, I think the final product, I think if you give it a listen, you will agree that it was lots of fun. Hench ranting and raving like a lunatic and all the best bets out there. Some fun segments. Give it a listen.
What's the 20 minutes that got cut? Is it Hench? Is it all Hench talk?
Well, actually, as we do on Spotify Live every Tuesday night, we play Mr. Lister, the category-based sports trivia game. So I thought it would be fun. That. Well, Hench is a ringer, as you know. He's as good at sports trivia as any human being I've ever met in my life. So I revisited a question that Spaghetti did just the night before to see if Hench could beat him at the category Spaghetti just looked at. And it was pretty tight. But Spaghetti won that one to his credit.
All right. Good job, Spaghetti. Things are looking up for you with your Yankees. And, the Knicks blew it. That was something. Talk about that. It just seems like the same. John Moran.
Next episode, we got to get into these NHL reverse uniforms. These were glory. We got to get Meatball's opinion on these. He loves collecting all those sweaters. We got to get his best and worst of those.
Then you wonder why you're 40 minutes long, because you're talking NHL sweaters. All right, there you go. Martin, Lemon Pepper Parlay, you and Will Blackman, you break it down. Lots of fun there in that episode, right?
Oh, yeah. Will's still over in London. So the time change, it's an interesting dichotomy, because I think he's been up a little bit longer than I have. He's got a little bit of spunk and energy. Will Blackman's a character, I'll tell you that.
It's all the tea and scones. He's very exciting. We're going to get his picture on the website. I don't know what happened there, but he's definitely supposed to be on.
Yeah, Salvatore, he's coming for you.
He called me out in the beginning and the end. I was like, oh, great. This has nothing to do with me. He provided his headshot. Some guys are slow at the website, but it's coming up.
William Blackman enjoys his grapes. That's probably what he's doing in the UK by the time you're getting him on the line.
For sure. Wired, Jen Piacenti, Eddie Spaghetti. All your fantasy needs are tended to there. Megan Fun of Sports. We have Covered in Glory, our soccer podcast. What Am I Missing? Against All Odds. We're going to go over all the week 7 games coming up, and that'll do it. I want to thank Cornell Beecham, our first NIL guest, reigning Division III wrestling champ and all-purpose yard leader in Division III football. Good job by Cornell Beecham. And
Clippers -5.5 tonight.
Is that what your pick is? All right.
No, my pick is the Saints. I figured that's what we're going to the graphic. But we're playing basketball too, so I'm going to go Clippers -5.5.
Little bonus pick from Martin. Want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.